every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It's Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, your Arizona tradition for since 1988. 8 o'clock hour is our outdoor living hour. We're in the second Saturday of the month, which means we are talking trees with ISA certified arborists Sarah Maitland and John Eisenhower of Integrity Save a Tree. We have a tree of the month. We've got our talking tree points. We've got a little trivia. You've got a new tree word we're all going to learn today. And there's an opportunity for Arizona to have a voice in what the next four champion trees are. We'll dive into all of that in this hour, and we'll take your calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U if you'd like to talk trees. You can also text 411-923 or email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com if you'd like to snap a picture of a plant or insect you need a little help identifying. You can send it to us, and we'll do our best to give you the best answer we possibly can. John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What tree did you bring in here today?
Well, our tree of the month this month is a fun one. It's a crepe myrtle. It's a Largostromia indica. You know, if you learn these botanical names, you know, it definitely gives you some street cred with all the green nerds, you know. And that's one that's kind of fun. It kind of rolls off the tongue. Largostromia.
Well, I'm glad it gives you cred with somebody.
With somebody. We're not sure.
It just confuses.
We're not sure if you want to hang with those green nerds.
It just confuses poor old Rosie.
I don't see a lot of them on the street, though, I'll be honest.
But the crepe myrtle is fun. It's a fun tree. You know, it's really common throughout the Midwest and the South. I remember when I went to Texas for the first time, I saw these beautiful flowering trees all along the freeway, and they were crepe myrtles, and they were beautiful. It's a summer to fall blooming tree, so those of you who are here only during the winter probably wouldn't be a great tree for you because you won't be able to enjoy the bloom if you're here only during the winter season, but it is a very nice tree. They grow a little bit better at some of the higher elevations, so Tucson has a lot more of them, and they're planted more commonly there than they are in Phoenix. But they are adaptable to the low desert. There are a lot of cultivars that they, every year it seems, they develop new cultivars that have certain adaptations for certain climates and soil conditions. And there's several that are really appropriate for Arizona. The bloom is pretty impressive. They're white, pink, red, or lavender. And something that's really cool, I was talking to Sarah about it this morning, is the trunks. And they are remind you a little bit of like the Chinese elm tree.
Yeah, Chinese elm, even like the rainbow eucalyptus or the sycamores, it's got a real molting kind of colorful trunk that even in when they're deciduous, which a lot of them are still deciduous now, the trunk is beautiful.
Yeah, it's a white, creamy white trunk with kind of a mottled brown patches, and that's kind of cool to have as a sort of a kicker is to have, not only have a beautiful green tree and with this incredible bloom, but then to have a trunk that's really unique and gnarly and kind of just attractive and aesthetic in and of itself. What about the what else about? Let me see. We've got some other notes here on the crepe myrtle. It is a smaller tree. That's what I wanted to make mention on. If you're looking for that kind of patio tree that's not going to be disruptive and destroy your hardscape in the area, it's not going to outgrow its landscape purpose really quickly like many trees do, this would be a good one. You know, it's a nice tree for those smaller areas. Takes full sun, although, you know, maybe not against a west wall that would be difficult. Especially the younger trees get blasted with that afternoon sun. But they are good in full sun, and you might want to ask your local nursery for to give you a description of the varieties they have in stock and ask, of course, what the bloom color is because you want to be sure you select one that's going to be to your liking.
We should really point out the ASU plant list. If you just Google ASU plant list, Chris Martin, the past professor that ran the urban horticulture there, put together this great reference, and you just go there, click on trees, and click on the crepe myrtle. And at the lower part of it, there's several varieties that are adaptable to the desert. And it used to be a tree that kind of you put in the shade in the back corner because it couldn't take the sun. I was at a house this week, and it was on the northwest corner of the front yard with gravel, and it was very healthy and beautiful.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning Chris's website. That's a great reference for a lot of other trees and shrubs, and you can, and I love it because they've got lots of pictures, a lot of photos, so you can kind of get a look at what it's going what it look like mature. And yeah, it's a great resource. Thank you, Dr. Chris Martin, for that labor of love, because that's been a real go-to resource.
You know what I didn't do, and I should have thought of it ahead of time, and I'm only thinking of it now, but these trees that aren't that common, they may be a little hard to find in the nursery. Mm-hmm. You know, nursery, to stay in business, they have to sell what they have to stock what sells.
Sure.
And if it's not a popular tree, it could be a little harder to find. So we'll have to do that. What local nurseries are selling the crepe myrtle? And you said Tucson, they're a little more popular, so it might even be a trip to the old Pueblo, to, you know, Sabanos, sure. Rielito. They've got a lot of great local nurseries down there that might, it might be a trip south to find one.
Yeah, and because most nurseries now, and everyone, Everett is more tech savvy, most nurseries now have good websites too with a lot of good photos, and those are also a great resource. I know Mountain State's Wholesale Nursery has some really great photos and a lot of good material, so you can go kind of thumb through the, you know, their index, if you so to speak, and you know, and look at the trees before you go by. But yeah, you can just get on the phone and call around some of the nurseries and ask them, you know, hey, do you know what kind of cultivars of crepe myrtle do you have available, and before you go driving around.
And you said wholesale, so if they had it, they would then have to find a landscaper to buy it for them.
This is
for
true.
The install.
But I'm just saying they've got a great resource in terms of
you can at least find it.
Yeah, no, you can go look at their website because they've got some great color photos as well.
And that's the crepe myrtle. And you said there's a number of different varieties named, like the Bourbon Street and the Baton Rouge.
Well, there's a Dixie line of cultivars. They actually make these crepe myrtles in shrub size, too, if you want some that are just going to be great for that 3 to or to 5 to 6 foot height for a little barrier. They make a lot of little crepe myrtles cultivars, and a couple of them are called the Dixie cultivars. There's a Bourbon Street, there's a New Orleans, and yes, some kind of nice southern ones I thought were appropriate for Louisiana.
So that's our tree of the month, the crepe myrtle. And how elevation wise, you said they're popular in Tucson. I mean, this probably is something a little not something you'd see up above, you know, 3,000-4,000 feet elevation, probably.
I don't know. Maybe a listener or two could call in and ask us how high you've got your crepe myrtle surviving, you know. But they are deciduous, by the way, so they're going to lose their leaves in the winter. If there's one con for all the pros, all the benefits, there is one, and that would be that they look pretty ghostly. In fact, they look dead in the winter, you know. I mean, they look all grayed out, and it's so odd because you have like the desert willow, which is a big, flowery, beautiful tree, but man, does it look pretty lousy in the winter.
It doesn't have the pretty bark either.
No, and then the crepe myrtle is much like the desert willow in that it has this beautiful, beautiful, showy bloom in the fall, but a few months later in the winter, it looks pretty ghostly. So the one good thing is that we don't have a long winter here, so we don't have a long time to look at it. Our deciduous period, our dormancy is pretty short lived. It might be only a month or two before those trees are putting their leaves back on.
So that's our tree of the month, the crepe myrtle. We've got a number of talking tree to dos as well for caring and maintaining for the trees around our properties.
Speaking of deciduous trees, some people might ask, is it too late to prune my deciduous trees? Because deciduous tree pruning normally is done in December and January, ideally, but you can prune deciduous trees any time of year with the idea that you're reducing the dosage of pruning as the temperatures increase. You know, ideally it'd be nice to prune all of our deciduous trees in December and January, but if you're reducing the amount of pruning you're doing, you can pretty much groom even your citrus trees. You can prune into the hotter months of the year, but you just need to reduce the amount of foliage you're removing. You know, if you need to kind of groom your citrus trees in the middle of the summer and you know that you shouldn't be pruning them heavily of just do that. Just tuck them in, you know, reduce those little maverick branches that tend to hang out of the main canopy and trim those back. And you can do that at pretty much any time. So if you've waited too long, you know, waited this long to do your deciduous tree pruning, you've got another month or two that you could do some pretty significant reduction pruning and some structural improvement. So you still have time to do that. But that being said, this is prime time for pruning your evergreen trees. You know, all of your trees that are that hold their leaves all year long, this is really your best time. We try to not be pruning too many of our desert trees in the middle of the summer, except for the mesquite, which we actually recommend summer pruning because they are so vigorous. And they we like to actually let them put on some spring growth and then prune them as close to the monsoon as we can, without leaving them so heavy that they're prone to breakage in the summer. But usually our mesquites will prune May or June. That's a good time because it's kind of pre-monsoon, you know, keep them, get them safe for the summer. But letting them have a lot of that spring push of growth so that when you do your pruning in late or mid-summer, they hold their prune for more of the calendar year. If you prune your mesquite trees now, by midsummer, they've replaced all the foliage you've taken out, and that's, you know, probably not a good thing for them to be that heavy in the going into the summer monsoons.
It seems like a lot of our natives get overwatered, pretty significantly. Go out in the desert and they're still all alive and growing there, but we put them in our yards and we water them and they grow very aggressively. And I'm guilty of this myself. Our mesquites, I was pruning 3-4 times a year, just how big they were growing. Yeah. And finally, they got a big enough canopy and they were covering the shade. I really dialed back my watering a lot.
Mesquites are a tree that really, they don't have much of a filter, you know.
Yeah.
Some trees will take a little more water than they need in turf areas, oak or ash. But a mesquite will just, it'll just take it all up and it'll just grow vigorously. Probably on the pruning notes, John, I would point out that if you're going to do later year pruning on your citrus and your evergreens and things like that, the key thing is to not expose the bark to sun. And that's probably the most important thing to do.
The calls are lining up, but it's time for a break. We'll take we'll be right back and get to your calls along with additional Talking Trees bullet points that we have for March.